Amen. By the time we're done today, I know you start to praise him better than this. Amen. Okay. Our topic today is praise to victory. Praise to victory. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read Psalm 34. Psalm 34. 11. Is that 11? Psalm 34, 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. Okay, I'm going to read it from here. I don't see it up there. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. At all times. You will do what? You will bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in your mouth. That's what the Bible said. His praise shall continually be in our mouth. God has a reason for saying this. And let me tell you, let every man be a liar, let God be true. God has a reason. If he says to do it, what do? You do it. Praise the Lord. So that's what we're going to start doing going forward, to know that this is a mandate. We need to, not a mandate, but we're enjoined to do what? To praise the Lord at all times, at least from this passage. Now we'll see more. Praise the Lord. So what is dance? Why do we do this dancing? Dance is used as an act of worship in scripture. If you go to the scripture, you see dance as an act of what? Worship. Praise God. Let's see what the Bible said about dance. The first appearance of dance in the Bible was in Exodus 15:20. We see God's people dancing as an act of worship in Exodus 15:20. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Praise the Lord. This one says, Aaron's sister took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourine and with dancing. Praise God. So what is happening here? Remember the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea? After they crossed the Red Sea, what happened? Then Miriam led the women with tambourines. I see some people use tambourines. And they started dancing and praising the Lord to celebrate their newfound freedom from slavery. Remember? Praise the Lord. And that was the first time that we see dance in the scriptures. Let's look at another passage. Psalm 149, verse 3. That's an encouragement for us. It's encouraging us. He said, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. It's encouraging you. One said, let them praise him with dancing. Let them praise the Lord with what? Dancing. So you can praise the Lord. You can sing his praises. You can dance. But he says he's encouraging us to do what? To praise him with dancing. Praise the Lord. And if God says to do something, I don't even care how it works. I don't care how it's going to be done. He says, praise him with what? Dancing. Amen. So dancing is scriptural. But Christians, we should try to be very careful of how we dance. Praise God. How we dance is very, very careful. Our focus must not be on ourselves, to draw attention to us. Praise the Lord. If our focus is about on God, if our dancing is praiseworthy, if our dancing brings glory to God and edifies others, then it's a good thing. So as long as our dance is worshipful, God-focused, as long as our dance is praiseworthy, it can have a proper place in the in worship. Praise the Lord. So it's a far cry from what we saw the daughter of Herodias do, what she did, praise the Lord, when she was dancing a lustful dance. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about God-focused, praiseworthy dance to worship God. Amen. And then we saw an example of somebody who was dancing. He danced and danced and danced until his wife started disdaining him. And this was a man after God's heart, David. David was one man that knew how to worship God, how to praise him. He danced and danced and danced until his wife, somebody said he was naked. I didn't see it in the Bible. I tried to look for it. He wasn't naked. Praise the Lord. I didn't see it. praise the Lord. But let's see 2 Samuel 6:14. 2 Samuel 6:14. And David was dancing before the Lord with great enthusiasm. He was dancing before the Lord with great enthusiasm. And David was wearing a linen ephod, a priestly upper garment. And then New King James said, David danced before the Lord with all his might. So having known this now, is it possible that when we come out here to dance before the Lord, our dance, our worship gets too quiet, too structured? I was reading this in voice. He said it gets too structured, too reserved. Why are you doing that? David danced before the Lord with a careless abandon. He just danced and danced until his wife said, look at this man that called himself the king. Yeah, let other people say that. But you are dancing to the glory of God. Praise the Lord. That's what God wants you to do. To dance with all your might before him. To dance with all your might. Praise God. And I'm telling you, what is drama? After all, I will take a few minutes to go through this drama. Drama is essentially a developed form of storytelling. It's one of the most powerful means of communication, especially in our century now. And guess what? Even though it's drama, it can also teach spiritual lessons in the process. Let's look at drama. Even though we see Jesus using parables to teach people, but there was a purpose for it. And that's what drama does for us. Ezekiel was among the first people to use the medium of drama to get God's message across. Let's see Ezekiel 4, 1 to 5. Ezekiel 4. Ezekiel 4, 1 to 5. Okay. But there's something I saw in voice, like an excerpt. I want to read for you. It says, like other prophets, Ezekiel often acts out his messages in bizarre ways. My mother told me this story. It says, these chapters contain a series of prophetic actions that communicate God's message in powerful, non-verbal ways. By dramatizing God's plan before an audience, a prophet is better able to change the people's perceptions, to change their attitudes and behaviors, because they can see an outcome instead of just imagining it. My mother was telling me this story. She would tell me about Ezekiel, that he did some weird things. But he would go into a hole. We go do this, we do this, we put on that. Until I started reading this, I remember what my mother used to tell me. Let's look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 4, 1 to 5. It says, now, son of man, put a brick in front of you and draw a picture of the city of Jerusalem on it. Then lay siege against it. Build a wall around it and place a siege ram against it and prepare to attack it by placing tiny battering rams and pitching tiny camps around it. Go on. Then take an iron pan. In fact, when you go to ERV, it says, and pretend. It says, then take, and take an iron pan and put it between you and the city. It will be like an iron wall separating you and the city. In this way, you will show that you are against it. You will surround the city and attack it. This is an example for the family of Israel to show that I will destroy Jerusalem. Then you must lie down on your left side. You must do this thing that shows that you are taking the sins of the people of Israel on yourself. You will carry the guilt for as many days as you lie on your left side. You must bear the guilt of Israel for 390 days. In this way, I'm telling you how long Israel will be punished. One day equals one. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine? He said, pretend to do this. Then lie down on one side. You will remain like that. For how many days? 390 days. He says, a day represents a year. So that is how it will be with the people of Israel. So you will bear their sin on you for this number of days that represents this number of years. Praise the Lord. That is how drama started. And today, drama helps us to also. I said, at the end of this whole thing, when Ezekiel was done with this acting, then he now gives the people the word of God. He now sends out the word of God. And this message, that's why, you know, an adage, English adage that says, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So when they see these things, They go beyond, you know, imagining. They go, what would I do? They cannot imagine how, you know, this whole thing is all about. It gives them a better understanding of what the preacher is talking about. And that's what drama does for us today. If our drama is supposed to come before preaching, so that at the end of the drama, you know, whoever is preaching, you get the message clear. Praise the Lord. So, but however, nothing can take the place of the preached word of God. The Spirit of God is always eager to anoint solid biblical preaching. But at the same time, nothing arrests. Perhaps nothing can arrest people's attention, whether they are saved or lost, as effectively as what? Drama. That is why Christian drama is not an end to itself. It's a valuable tool through which you can now reach people for the Lord. It has an impact, and I'm just going to talk about one aspect of the impact of drama. It touches those people outside the church, and it touches the people inside the church. Praise the Lord. A simple message is a powerful, you know, of a powerful drama. If the drama is powerful, that message that the Holy Spirit has anointed will touch lives and will also change lives. Usually an outsider, when you invite them, they might not want to come. But when you say, okay, there's going to be drama, they want to come. So even use the excuse that the family member is acting. So I remember when I was doing that, you know, I would go to watch that thing because my daughter is one of the actors or whatever they are performing. So I'll go. People do that today. Praise the Lord. So whenever we have drama and dance presentation or drama from any ministry, I encourage you to invite outsiders. Invite people. Who knows? I know they will come. And when they come, they might just be saved. Amen? Praise the Lord. So why drama again? Drama is not just an entertainment time. Drama is evangelism. Praise the Lord. So what is praise? Let's go into praise. Praise is the act of expressing approval or admiration. It's something that shows respect. I was looking at these things in the dictionary, or attests to the worth of influence of another. To praise, now, this is one I like. That's the pastor's school, senior pastor. Praise the Lord. He says to praise is to talk about the works of God. To praise God is to talk about the works. This is just, this sums up the whole thing. To talk about his works. Whether you're dancing, you're singing, you're just talking, verbalizing it, it is also praise. So to praise God is just to talk about the works of God. Praise the Lord. And sometimes we say we thank God, we're thanking God, we're praising God. There is a little difference. To thank the Lord is to thank him for the things he has done. There's a little difference between praising God and thanking him. You thank him for the things he has done. He gave you a job. He answered my prayer for the soul, saving, you know, a loved one. He gave you a new house. He gave you a car. He healed you and all that stuff. That is what thanking the Lord is. But praise is higher than that. When we praise the Lord, we praise him for who he is, who God is, apart from the benefits that you're getting from him. Praise the Lord. For example, how many of you take time to praise God for his redeeming work? That you're the redeemed of the Lord. Because when we're talking about redemption, Pastor was teaching us what is redeem, what is to redeem, redemption. And we're thinking to buy back. If the Bible has applied, you know, in the past, in the Bible, buying back before this time was usually something that has to do with slaves, to free them from their slave masters, the freedom of a slave. That's what redemption was all about. Then, when it comes to the cross, redemption comes in again, which means that if we were redeemed, then it means that we were slaves. Sometimes we were slaves. If we go, you know, according to the Bible, if we need redemption, then we were slaves one way or the other, somewhere. So we were slaves to sin. Praise the Lord. We were slaves to sin. And God, Jesus, paid the ransom. He did something. And then we were redeemed from the power of sin. From the wrath of God, we were redeemed. And all the consequences of sin. But do we take time to just praise God for what he has done? To praise him for your salvation? To praise God for his mighty works? We need to know how to praise God for who he is, especially for the finished work of the cross. Praise the Lord. Psalm 150 verse 2. Praise him for his powerful acts, redeeming his people. Praise him for his greatness that surpasses our time and understanding. It does surpass our time and understanding. He's a great God. I was listening to a program that we got here some time, long time ago. It was something, you know, that day we had a youth program. They were singing some, how great is our God? Sing with me. They were singing it. And then they said, they got singing again. Awesome. Something about God being awesome. Praise the Lord. And then the guy started to teach. I'll just remember one thing. If the earth were a golf ball, you know how a golf ball is. I want to bring out the greatness of this God that we're whining you to praise. He said, if the earth were a golf ball, this is the God of the universe. They take that golf ball and put it, you know, by the universe. The earth becomes, he said, it's about 500 times, I don't know, part of the universe. The earth became like a speck of dust. The earth on which we live, compared with the entire universe. That one, it will say how great our God is. So we can't be whining to praise God. He's a great God. He has done some awesome things. He's worthy of praise. Let's look at 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. So you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual praises acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We think we are a holy generation. But do you take time to say, God, we thank you? We just dance that thing. Pastor will say, do you even know the meaning? God will ask him, do you even know the meaning of what we're singing? Praise the Lord. Do we even know the meaning of what we're singing? You were called for this purpose. The praise of him who called you out of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his own son, the kingdom of light. Praise the Lord. You changed camp. You decamp. We're no longer in that kingdom of darkness. You were translocated. Praise the Lord. Do you take time and say, God, we give you praise? That is why. Say, that is why you are called to praise him. Because of what? His mighty acts. Praise the Lord. So we talk about salvation. We need to praise him. Our sins are forgiven. God says, our lawless deeds, our transgressions, they will remember no more. Praise the Lord. Do you take time to praise God for salvation that includes protection, preservation, prosperity, your healing? If you believe it, you'll be praising him. Praise God. So it's very important that we begin to acknowledge these things. Philemon said, to acknowledge these things that God has done for you and begin to thank him. And you know what? Why that passage should be very important to you? It says that way your faith will be what? Your faith will be what? Effective. Huh? Anything to do with faith, you better watch. Because your faith is your victory. Amen. Look at those mighty things, the work of the cross. And every day, you thank God for it. Pastor Russell was sharing with us yesterday. God, there are things you should thank God for every day. The Ephesians prayer. That God was praying, Paul was saying that God will open our eyes to see these things that we're talking about, to understand them. Until you understand them, the revelation will not come. Praise the Lord. So when you begin to see them and understand them, then your faith becomes effective. Your faith is your victory. Is it not now important for you to know whatever has to do with this faith? It is going to help my faith. I'm going for it. Praise the Lord. Your faith is your victory. So acknowledge those things. And thank God for them. He's worthy of our praise. Praise is stabilized faith. So, you know, there was a time me and my husband wanted to pray. And it's important for you to begin to know the things that God has done for you. God is worthy of our praise. I miss reading that Bible passage, Psalm 18:3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. How will you be saved from your enemies? He says, I will call upon him who is worthy to be praised. As we go along, you will see why you need to praise him. It's a weapon. Praise the Lord. It's a weapon against the enemy. So shall I be saved from my enemies. You need to praise the Lord. Praise him. Whatever your past passing through. It's the time to get up, going forward. I'm not getting it well myself. I used to be very good at that. When I'm in the kitchen back home, they know this. They call me Wanya Alabeke. She's in the kitchen. A woman from Alabeke, America, overseas. When I'm taking my bath, it's like Wanya Alabeke. They know I'm in the bathroom because I'm singing. When I'm coming back from the market, I was full of praises. I don't know what happened. As I said, God, hey, I don't know. But we need to rise and get back, begin to cultivate again this habit or attitude of praise. So I shall be saved from my enemies. I pray that before you leave here, you'll get it. Amen. So when my husband was praying that day, then, you know, and again, the important thing is that if you don't begin to talk about it and thank God and recount it, you will forget them and you will never thank God for them. Praise God. Because you're passing through something. You forget that God has delivered you before. The God that did it before, he will do it again. Praise the Lord. So my son started saying something. We never prayed in that manner before. He said, praising God, thanking God, enumerating all God has done in our lives, back home, how we started, how we came here. He was counting them one by one, how we went back home, how our children came back without us, how God just intervened, how my kids, counting everything one by one. There was nothing he missed out. I was like, huh? And me, that was very, very, very focused. And, you know, how do I put it? I was just like, drowning my sea, that my problem that was there consuming. I wanted to just pray now about our problem. And by the time he went halfway, I said, hey, God is an awesome God. It's good to count your blessings. That song is very, very timely. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. He may not have healed, you may not have received your healing, because healing is a daunting. You may not have seen the physical manifestation. You may not have seen the breakthrough in your finances. You may not have seen that delinquent child come back. You may not have seen that marriage come back. But it's a done deal if you just stand in the place of praise and begin to count the things he did before. The God that did it before, he will do it again. He will do it. God will do it again. The God of the hills is the God of valleys. The God that did it before, he will do it again. But learn to count your blessings. Don't be focused on what you don't have. Think about the ones you have. The things he has done. And know that he's going to do the ones that are yet to come. Praise the Lord. Amen. We must go back on memory lane and begin to thank God. And as you thank God for the things he has done for you, he will do more. He will do more. Praise the Lord. And you know what? As you begin to thank God and begin to thank him, your faith. Your faith will come up. Amen. So we should praise God. You know, I think why we should praise God, we should also praise God, the fourth one, because it's a command. It's not an optional. It says, Psalm 150, verse 6, it says, let everything that has breath, do you have breath? Everything that has breath, that's a translation that everything that is living, everything that has life, praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, it's a command, should do what? Praise the Lord. Let's see how, when. Hebrews 13:15. It says, through him, therefore, let us at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. So I need to be going faster. So we need to praise God at all times. It's a sacrifice. You may not feel like it. He says it's a sacrifice anyway. The thing is to obey and do what? And do it. It's a sacrifice. A lip offering. Praise the Lord. It's a sacrifice. It will cost you something. Amen. Remember, David says, I will not give anything, thank you, to the Lord that does not cost me something. It will cost you. You may not feel like. And remember, Pastor Lord is sharing with us once in our women's program. She was there, you know, and she didn't feel like praising God or worshiping God, but she was just crying. And then the Spirit of God spoke and said, start praising me. Start worshiping me. The Spirit of God still does the same today. See, he did it with her. And with so many any of us, like he did in the Bible. And as soon as she started praising and worshiping God, God spoke. Praise the Lord. So she knew why she was having the problem. She was serving. So we should praise him at all times. It's a sacrificial praise. It's a fruit from our lips. Praise the Lord. A fruit from our lips. And what is the nature of that fruit? It is thankful. It is thankful. That fruit from your lips is thankful. It acknowledges and confesses and glorifies God. That's what that fruit does. Praise the Lord. So learn to sacrificially. God said it's not option. It's a sacrifice at all times. No matter where you're passing through. We're not told to praise God only when things are going well for us. At all times, always praising. It means whether in your sickness, in health, in riches or poor, in failures or in success, in plenty or lack, when things are going well, whether they're not going well with you, your marriage, whatever it is. He says, praise the Lord. His praise is to continuously be in our mouth. He says it is a sacrifice. It will cost you something. You may not feel like it. Praise the Lord. But then, when it comes out, God does something. Amen. We'll see as we go on while we praise him. So why don't we then praise him? We know why we don't praise him. The difficulties of life. They sometimes they cloud our vision. They keep us from praising God. But we're to praise him always, at all times, on all occasions. He says praise him. Every time, praise him. There should never be a time when we should not praise God. We're commanded to rejoice always, praise him always, in all circumstances. Praising. Am I talking to somebody today? Before you leave here, your life will not remain the same. Because the word of God is true. And it is in obeying that we are blessed. Amen. Something happens when we choose to obey God. I didn't finish reading our pastor's definition of praise. As you begin to praise God and begin to confess, thank this thanksgiving. It's all about confessing his greatness, thanking him, and all that. When I was talking about praising him, the nature of that praise. It's going to be thankful. It's going to be, what did I read? Okay. As we praise him, the pastor says, when you tune in, when you get into that mood of praise, something happens. God shows up. Yesterday, when Pastor Roger said she shows up and he shows up, I said, yeah, you got me. Because that's what I have here. That's from, if you went to that convention, you know what we're talking about. When you praise God like that, with that careless abandon, focusing on it, because it changes, it shifts your focus, no longer on your problem, but on this big God, on what this God can do. He can make that impossibility possible. He can break down those walls of Jericho. He will do the impossible in your life. When you key into that thing, what happens is that God will show up. And God will show us. Amen. Fear disappears when you start to praise God. Let's look at, and then, like I said, when you praise him, what happens? As you praise him and praise him and praise him, fear begins to do what? Disappear. And your faith begins to rise. Let's see Colossians 2:6-7. And it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. Please, can you give me 7? I'm sorry. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it. Thanksgiving. Established in the faith. He's talking about faith, right? He's qualifying the faith. Established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding in it. What is that it's qualifying? The same faith. Abounding in faith. With what? With what? How do you abound in faith? With thanksgiving. And that translation says increasing in faith. Increasing, abounding in faith. That's why when you praise God like that, thank God for Brother Ezebuko was giving me the supplying me the answer. When you praise him, your faith comes up. Why did it come up? Because praising God removes your focus from that situation and focusing on God, the greatness of this God, your faith comes up. In line with what we just read now, praise the Lord. So you praise him at all times as you've been taught. And as you do that, you abound in faith. Praise God. And that is why you should praise. Faith is your victory. Abound in faith. Let's take a look at Philippians 4:4-8. Philippians 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourselves in him. Again, I say rejoice. Go on. We've done that. We talked about it. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness. So not praising God, not, you know, rejoicing all the time, not praising all the time. It's a mark of selfishness. You're thinking about you. You don't even see what God has done. It's only what you want him to do. Let people see your unselfishness, that people will not recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. He's coming soon. Continue. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Do not fret about that situation. Do not have anxiety about it. But in every circumstance, whatever the circumstance, I'm not writing this. Says, read it with me. Praise the Lord. Do not fret about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Hold it there. Hold it. Hold it there. Bring it back. Praise the Lord. So whatever you're passing through, you are seeing black, but God says it is white. He says, do not fret. Whatever it is, whether it relates to you, your health, your family health, your finances, the child, the marriage, whatever it is, he says, do not fret. Have no anxiety at all about anything. Anything means anything. Praise the Lord. But in every circumstance means every circumstance. In every circumstance, in everything, I'm not going to ask what everything means. It means everything, everything. That's what he will say. What do you do? He says, in everything, by prayer and petition. Listen, God wants you to come to pray, to commune with him. By prayer, that you go to him by prayer. He loves you when you come to commune. Our daddy loves it. When my children come, I love it. How much more our God, if we that are evil, love to communicate, to commune, to have good times, our children, to have them. My granddaughter visited me this weekend. She came on holiday. It was my best weekend. He said, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God with prayer and petition with what? Thanksgiving. See, God is showing us a pattern here. Paul is showing you this pattern. You don't just come and begin to talk and talk and talk and lay a list before God and leave. No. See what he's saying here. He says, don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. In everything, every circumstance, whatever it is, by prayer and petition, we, some of us miss the Thanksgiving, but today you will never miss that Thanksgiving again. With Thanksgiving, bring your request, make it known to the Lord. It's a pattern. Do you know that Jesus thought of the same thing? Let's look at the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Okay. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth. No. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Maybe I gave him the wrong passage. Okay, I'll just read from here. Matthew is the Lord's Prayer, where we have the Lord's Prayer. It says, pray then in this way. Our Father, now I want you to just follow. If you have it there, okay, good. Okay, let's read it then. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven. What are we seeing there? No. Is it worship? Praise. Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. What are we doing there? Jesus is teaching us. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in. They are revering God. You see? And then, what happens in between? Give us this day. Our daily bread. If you go again, you see how he ends up. For thine is the kingdom, and thy power, and thy glory. Is it not the same thing that we're told in the last passage that we read? So with prayer, by prayer, and thanksgiving, continuously make your request known to the Lord. So I want you to know today that when you come before the Lord to ask, make petition, whatever you're doing, you're going to start with God praising him. Pastor Victor taught us once that the Yoruba man, I don't forget that about that man, and then this professional dancers will come, and then you give them money. They were praising him. The man will throw in the money. So the money finished. He threw something else. That one finished. He took off the armor that he threw it. That one finished. He took off the watch. Praise the Lord. See, God said, don't just come like that. Remember, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his court with praise. And today we're learning how to best the most effective way, a cheap way to get God's presence in your case is to praising him. With thanksgiving, then you now make your request known to him. Praise the Lord. You see, God is a good God because he loves you. The love of God. Daughter that was leading this morning in praise and worship, I said, God, thank you. She went on and on talking about the love of God. The love of God. That's why he wants you to come. He wants our children to come. God loves us so much. His love, hey, the magnitude of that love. Thank God, he gave us his son. I said, with him, what will he not deny? He has given you his son. He loves you so dearly. The apple of his eyes. We want to talk about the love of God. I talk about, he was saying it this morning, when I look at my grandchild, look at my children, I want to do everything I know to do so as to make life easy for them. I sacrifice so as to make it for them. You know, I would do anything that's within my power to do just to see them smile, to see them happy. Praise the Lord. My granddaughter, oh God, that one, don't even go there. I would do anything, pull off my hair, pull off. I had the most expensive thing I've ever had, jewelry. My little granddaughter just pulled it, boom, she break it. If it were somebody else, hey, this will be trouble go take for Katanga. But I said, ha, me, did you do this? Did you? Ha, you're going to pay. Wait now. When you get to that age, you will pay me now. And you know, and I'm still loving her. That's, begin to imagine the love of God. This is something that was very, 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 very precious to me. But see what happened? With joy. And I'm still loving her. I'm loving her. All my grandchildren. Can you begin to imagine? That's why I say it's beyond understanding the love of God for us. Praise the Lord. When we hurt. Like Pastor, who was saying this? When we, it pains God that all he has provided for us, we're not even able to enjoy them because of our faith. Praise the Lord. We can, our arm of faith can reach out to grab those things as made available 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine? That is the love of God. So he says, come to me. As you come and you pray, God answers. He answers. And then when you call, I will answer. Praise the Lord. And then going forward, he begins to tell us about, let's see, 1 Peter 5:7. Says we should cast all our cares, all our anxiety, all our worries, all our concerns once and for all. Once and for all on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Praise the Lord. And Jesus taught us the same thing. You know, when his disciples were passing through what they're passing through, I don't know what you're passing through today, but I'm telling you, he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You can trust him. You can trust that he's going to make it right. And you know, he watches over this world. The Bible says, he watches over his word to perform it in the lives of his children, to make it right in your life. He's watching after every word. He's dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's so he can make it right for you. Praise the Lord. I want you to stay in the place of praise and worship. No matter what you're passing through, it's not easy. It's easier said than done. You know, words come cheap. But I challenge you, when the time comes, you will need it. But begin to cultivate that habit today to praise God and be in the place of praise. See, he says in John 14:1, do not let your heart be troubled. He's saying to you today, do not let your heart be troubled, no matter what the doctors have said, no matter what the teachers have said, autism, whatever, all those crap. I know it's not easy, but we have to go with the word of God. We have to choose. He says, whose report shall you believe? What the doctor said, what that bank account said, the checkbook says, the teachers say, the economy says, God says, let not your heart, I'm telling you, let not our hearts be what? Troubled. Let not your heart be afraid, he says, or cowardly. He says, believe confidently in God and trust him. Have faith. Hold on to it. Rely on it. Keep going and believe also in me. What situation are you passing through today? What situation? Can you just trust him? Can you just believe him? Choose to believe his report? Truth is not easy, but when you start, it works. God never fails. He never disappoints. He's not a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. His word is true. All we need to do is to stand unshakable. Praise the Lord. And when you're standing, Somebody is standing right beside you. Jesus, the Lord, is standing right there by your side. Praise the Lord. So when you pass through that fire, no matter how hot it is, he's there right beside you. Praise the Lord. It will not scorch you. When you pass through that water of affliction, no matter how deep, you will not drown. Praise the Lord. So he says, do not let your heart be troubled, afraid, cowardly. Believe confidently in God. Have faith. Hold on to it. He's saying the same thing to us today. As regards our child, our marriage, the ill health, whatever it is, God is saying, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. Do not be cowardly. It's a faith thing. You know why I said it's a faith thing? He says, have faith. Believe confidently in God and trust in him. Have faith. Hold on to it. To what? What is that it? What is that it? The faith. And where does that faith come from? From the word of God. And that word, is that the faith comes from the word. You know, every fruit has its own seed in it, right? That particular situation, it is sickness. Go to, Pastor Joshua was sharing with us, today. Go to the Bible, the word of God. Find out the scriptures that relate to your own particular situation. Praise the Lord. Find out the scripture. It has everything is in the word of God. The Bible contains every situation. Pull out those scriptures. If it is healing, pull them out. I once put out 30 pages of Joyce Meyer's healing scriptures. 2004, when they said I had, they were querying cancer of the stomach. I pulled it out every day. I said, they take a pill a day or take it. It's God's pill, isn't it? Yeah, take a pill. The word of God, he sent his word to heal us. And then I stood on that pill. I think I said it two times a day, then once a day. And I kept on going until one day I was sitting right there. I was watching TV. As usual, my kids need, okay. So as I was watching that TV, and the woman came up, the 700 Club woman. She was talking with the man. I don't know the name of the man. John Robert. Is that Robert, how do you say it? Yes, Robinson. Yeah. Pat, yes. As the man was talking, so they started praying, but she was prophesying. She said, there's this lady, you're sitting right there before me. I need you to claim this is for you. You've gone, she said, enumerating this thing step by step, all I've done. She said, you've gone through, she said, I've gone through, what was the first thing they sent you for? No, colonoscopy. The first thing they sent you. They sent me for that one. No, that was the last one. So they sent me for that one. So I went for it. They said, okay, go for endoscopy. They put that thing inside my throat, went down to take a picture of my stomach. And they said, okay, go for colonoscopy, then go for CAT scan, then go. So they were, no, the man said, narrating it, you've gone to this one. You've gone to this one. You've gone to this one. I want you to claim it. God, I just fell from my chair. I said, Lord, I thank you. I lost 50 pounds. It was less than 4 months or 3 months. I lost 50 pounds. But guess what? After that, that big lump here, I will eat. Oh, Jesus, I'm paying. So the thing just like that is fizzled out. Praise the Lord. So get the scripture that has to do with what you're passing through and begin to meditate and begin to meditate and begin to praise God. When fear comes, bring in your praise and begin to counter the fear and begin to praise God. And the doubts will die. Your faith will come up and you begin to praise God. And the victory is yours. Praise the Lord. The victory is yours. He guaranteed us. Amen. It's a guarantee. It might not be as easy as I'm saying it, but it's sure to happen. Praise the Lord. Then you begin to see John 16:33, why he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you have tribulations and distress and suffering. This is amplified. Is it in amplified? Okay, let's read together. Please. I have told you, read with me, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer, courage, be confident, certain, undoubted, for I have overcome the world of its power to harm you. And I've conquered it for you. That sickness, he said, I've conquered it for you. That financial problem, I've conquered it for you. That rebellious child, I've conquered that situation for you. The joblessness, I've conquered that situation for you. He says, whatever it is, he said, I mine says that this one, when you use the other translation, says, my request, says, my conquest is accomplished. My victory is abiding. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I like how Message put it. Message said, he knew that situation. Let me see. He says, I didn't ask them to put it up, but that's okay. Message something, say something else. Okay, I'll get it. Praise God. So we need to start, rise up, believe in him, and start in faith. Praise God.
Yes.
Yes. He says, I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be what? And what? And what else? Hallelujah. In this godless, deeply at peace in this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered the world. So you cannot be shaken. Just stand there. The devil will try to shake you, but he says you should be what? Unshakable. Praise the Lord. So going forward, what do you do? Stand in that word of God. Your faith, the faith for getting that thing, is in that particular scripture. If it is healing, the scriptures for healing, that's where the faith for healing is. If it is finances, the scripture for prosperity, that's where it is. If it is your children, what is, they will be taught by me. They will be taught by me. God will teach them. Teach them the way they should go. When they grow old, they will not depart from it. I said, God, look at these children. I've trained them up the way they should go. I don't know what they are talking. I'm just holding on to you. You will do your own. I've done my own. Praise the Lord. I said to my son, Naya, let me tell you, I've dedicated you to God. I trained you up. I said, you can be running. He's after you because his work will surely come to pass. Praise the Lord. That difficult husband, that difficult spouse, guess what? He dealt with the book at Nebuchadnezzar. He said he has the heart of the king in his palm. That king, he has the heart of that your husband in his palm. And that's why, like a river of water, what happens? He begins to rechannel it the way it should. No. Praise the Lord. I don't care the situation. The word of God is there for it. Take that word and then believe God and things will happen. Praise God. Magnify his name. When you magnify the name of God, it's when you put the word of God above that situation. You've magnified him and begin to praise him and thank him. Putting that word above that situation, above whatever it is that I've already mentioned. Let me look at Psalm 69:31. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I will magnify him as I begin to thank God for what I'm believing him for, what he has already done, what he's yet to do. He said, you're magnifying. You're magnifying the name of the Lord. Magnify him. You begin to be magnified, O Lord. You are highly exalted. I know. But he says it is with thanksgiving. It's not just singing it. Praise the Lord. And when you magnify God like that, things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. We're going to see as we go on. Benefits of praise. God is fearful in praise. We say, who is like unto thee? God is fearful in praise. Exodus 15:11. I'm not going to sing. I don't have time. Exodus 15:11. Who is like unto thee? No. Who is like unto thee? Let's read it. Among the gods, who is like you? Glorious in holiness. Fear. Oh, who is like to thee? Oh, Lord, sing with me. Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, hallelujah. Did you see that? God is fearful in praises. And then he begins to do wonders. The guy that taught us that he now shows up and he shows off. Amen. So let me, what we're saying today, I know I dramatize and do all these things, but I'm telling you the word of God is true. Choose to believe the word. Let every man be a liar. Whatever the doctor said, he's a man. Whatever said, he's a man. But let God be true. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us look at Paul and Silas to see how fearful in praises. Paul and Silas in Acts 26:25-26. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaking, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loose. So you see, Paul and Silas, they were praising God to the point that the foundations of the prison literally did what? Shook. And everyone's chains were loose. That means the impossibility became possible. He made impossibilities possible.
The Holy Spirit of God does the same thing today.
As you praise God, prison chains that hitherto has held you down will be broken in Jesus' name. Every prison door, whatever it is spiritually, I don't know, whatever it is that is happening spiritually, that is contrary to the word of God, all those chains, as you praise and worship God, that the manifest presence of God, and God will show up, and God will do what he knows to do. Make that impossibility to be possible. Amen. The walls of Jericho, I'm not going to read, you can read it. It's in Joshua 6, 1 to 21. Joshua 6, 1 to 21. The great wall of Jericho, the ancient wall. He came crashing down, giving glory to God's people as a result of the shouts of praise. They were blowing the trumpet, the ones that are supposed to blow the glory. He put on those that are singing, those that are blowing the trumpets, and as they began to blow the trumpet, according to the order, when you read it, there was an order that God gave. So when you listen to God, obey him, things will happen. Impossibilities will be possible. The walls of Jericho will be broken down in your life. Whatever it is, I don't know if it exists, but if it does, it will be broken down. Whatever constitutes the wall of Jericho in your life, as you're going to praising and worshiping God like that, the walls will come down. In Jesus' name, they will. Psalm 149, 6 to 9. Praise is a weapon against the enemy. Psalm 149, 6 to 9. Say, let the high praises of God be in their throats, and a two-edged sword in their hands. The high praises of God in their throats. And what happens? God uses it to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings and chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is the honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Put the high praise of God in your throat. It's a weapon. This one buttresses that point better. Psalm 8, verse 2. It says, from the lips of children and infants, have ordained, I was speaking of the meaning of ordained, that you have commanded praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. To silence the foe and the avenger. Praise is a weapon. God uses praise as a weapon. The voice translation says, praise is power. The other one says, praise is strength. Praise, whatever it is, power, it is strength. It is your victory. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 2 Kings. If you read 2 Kings chapter 3, you will see what I'm talking about. When, the king of Israel, he needed help when his enemies came against him. So eventually, all that, everything happened, but eventually ended with a man of God that said, okay, you're going to build trenches. Build trenches. When you build those trenches, there will not be a drop of rain. Nothing will happen. Just build the trenches. And they built the trenches and they went to sleep. In the morning, when the sun rose, what happened? Their enemy saw that water has already, people saw the water already filled all those trenches. It didn't rain. The water filled all the trenches. And then the enemies look at the trenches. Because there was sun, reflection came, and it seemed like blood all over the place. Praise the Lord. It just looked like blood. Let me quickly read this one. I think it's verse 15 to 24. I don't know if I'm going to. But now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, this is a prophet, thus says the Lord, make the valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that your cattle and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. Also, you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water. Listen, it says, now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to the fight against them, or who were able to bear arms and older ones gathered, and they stood at the border. Then they arose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red blood. And they said, this is blood. The kings have surely struck swords and have killed one another. Now and therefore Moab to the spoil. So they came to the camp of Israel. Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites, so that they fled before them, and they entered their land, killing the Moabites. You see how God can just do this thing. What you don't, God will miraculously build a defense for you. Form an ambush. There was an ambush. And what happened? These men saw blood, and they thought that these other kings had killed themselves, and they ran in because they saw blood. And the Israelites got up and attacked them from the back and destroyed them. Praise the Lord. And that is our case. Says the Lord will fight for you. How do we know he will do it? We don't know. But the battle is his, and the victory is yours. Praise the Lord. We say again in 2 Chronicles, again, Jehoshaphat miraculously defeated the enemy because of the, that was the one we read. So let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When you go home, you read it. I don't know if I can do this one. The same thing happened. The armies of Moab and Ammon, they turned against, there are three kings fighting against the king of Israel. What happened is that God turned them around. One of them, I think the other two kings, rose up against the king of Mount Sai, whatever the mount is. Anyway, they slaughtered him. And then they turned around, the other two kings, and they're fighting against themselves, and also slaughtered themselves. The Lord Mount Seir. See what happened? They fought against themselves and slaughtered themselves before the king of Israel now came, and they took the spoil. God is fearful in praises. He inhabits the praises of his children. All these illustrations, you can see God inhabiting the praises of his children. God coming up and God showing up. Praise the Lord. So, if you're here today, I want us to know that the Holy Spirit of God still does the same thing. That's what I'm saying. He will do it in your life again and again, in Jesus' name. So, we must develop this attitude of praise. And if you're here today, you're saying, how am I going to do it? The first thing is to do what? Give your life to Christ. Praise the Lord. Start by giving your life to Christ. And then the second thing is just decide to praise God. Just decide. It is not easy. You don't feel like it. But it's a sacrifice of praise. Praise God. Talk about him. Worship him. Dance for him. And when you do all these things, God will see that the glory is his. Finally, I'm going to read Psalm 50:23. But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. He will reveal to you the salvation of God. Praise the Lord. And then it is, you must really, it's not something that, you know, it's not an option. You need to praise God. If you look at Deuteronomy 28, you will see somewhere in verse 47, God says, God brought that curse upon them. He said, because they didn't serve him with gladness, despite all the good things he did for them. So he brought those curses upon them. But we are the redeemed. We have been redeemed. No curses. God is not going to curse you again. He can't even curse those who are blessed, right? But it is still your responsibility to be in the place of praising God. If you read Psalm 100 verse 3, it says, to come into his gates with thanksgiving, to serve him with gladness. Are you going to serve the Lord with gladness? Are you going to serve the Lord with gladness? Going forward today, will you praise him in every situation? Will you praise him? Can what make? Will you stand on faith? Because the word of God will never, never, never fail. The faith we're talking about is the faith of Christ. You're going to stand in the place of faith, in the place of praise, and your faith will abound. As you praise God every day, your faith will abound. Praise the Lord. Are we going to do that? It's the dawn of a new day. Praise the Lord. Shall we?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.